Bhagavatam, Canto 1, Chapter 17, verse number 14. Jnani nagasyagam yunjan.
Jnani nagasyagam yunjan.
Sarvatusya chamad bhayam.
Sarvatusya chamad bhayam.
Sadhunam badrameva syad.
Sadhunam badrameva syad.
Asadhu dhamane krite.
Asadhu dhamane krite.
Translation by Srila Prabhupada. Whoever causes offenseless living beings to suffer must fear me anywhere and everywhere in the world. By curbing dishonest miscreants, one automatically benefits the offenseless. Purport by Srila Prabhupada. Dishonest miscreants flourish because of cowardly and impotent executive heads of state. But when the executive heads are strong enough to curb all sorts of dishonest miscreants in any part of the state, certainly they cannot flourish. When the miscreants are punished in an exemplary manner, automatically all good fortune follows. As said before, it is the prime duty of the king or the executive head to give protection in all respects to the peaceful, offenseless citizens of the state. The devotees of the Lord are by nature peaceful and offenseless. And therefore, it is the prime duty of the state to arrange, to correct, to convert everyone to become a devotee of the Lord. Thus, automatically, there will be peaceful, offenseless citizens. Then the only duty of the king will be to curb the dishonest miscreants. That will bring about peace and harmony all over human society. Srila Prabhupada ki jai. So we see here that Prabhupada is advocating very proactive, very strong, very determined leaders of society. Not only the king, but the people that cooperate with this king have to believe in this type of strict adherence to certain eternal principles. So therefore, punishing miscreants in an exemplary way is important. So we see if you go in a country that practices Sharia law, like Saudi Arabia, if someone is caught stealing three times, they cut his hands off. If they continue after that, they probably cut his legs off also. But they don't play again. It's not just one time. It's three times. And so that sort of makes sense, because it'll be a lot harder to steal if you don't have any hands. However, if two people engage in illicit activities, they always blame the woman. And they severely punish the woman. Sometimes they kill her. That seems to be much, much overstated. Why do we say that? Because in the first chapter of Bhagavad Gita, Arjuna, what does he say? He says, when irreligion is prominent in the family, O Krishna, the women of the family become polluted, and from the degradation of womanhood, O descendant of Rishni, come unwanted progeny. In the purport, Prabhupada says, good population in human society is the basic principle for peace, prosperity, and spiritual progress in life. The Varnashrama religion's principles are so designed that the good population would prevail in society for the general spiritual progress of state and community. Such population depends on the chastity and faithfulness of its womanhood. As children are very prone to be misled, women are similarly very prone to degradation. Therefore, both children and women require protection by the elder members of the family. By being engaged in various religious practices, women will not be misled into adultery. According to Chanakya Pandit, women are generally not very intelligent and therefore not trustworthy. So different family traditions of religious activities should always engage them, and thus their chastity and devotion will give birth to a good population eligible for participating in the Varnashrama system. On the failure of such Varnashram Dharma, naturally the women become free to act and mix with men, and thus adultery is indulged in at the risk of unwanted population. Irresponsible men also provoke adultery in society, and thus unwanted children flood the human race at the risk of war and pestilence. So here Prabhupada is speaking about two things. He's talking about, first of all, women being protected by the men in the family. That includes grandfather, father, husband, and so forth. And why? Because children and women can be sometimes misled, and that will lead to all kinds of problems. So he's not just saying women are at fault. He's saying that irresponsible men in the family, by not properly protecting the women, and then leaving them exposed to other irresponsible men who have no desire other than lust, then women become contaminated or corrupted, and then unwanted children can be born, and so forth. So then again he says, the increase of unwanted population certainly causes hellish life both for the family and for those who destroy the family tradition. The ancestors of such corrupt families fall down because the performances for offering them food and water are entirely stopped. So here we have the corruption going backwards and forwards. It goes backwards because when family members, the men and women become corrupted, they don't perform the Shraddh ceremony and other ceremonies for the benefit of their ancestors, and they don't engage in following the Varnashram system for protection of the family members and for other people in the society. So we see how serious it is. So here it says, according to the rules and regulations of fruitive activities, there is a need to offer periodical food and water to the forefathers of the family. This offering is performed by worship of Vishnu, because eating the remnants of food offered to Vishnu can deliver one from all kinds of sinful actions. Sometimes the forefathers may be suffering from various types of sinful reactions, and sometimes some of them cannot even acquire a gross material body. In other words, they're ghosts, and are forced to remain in subtle bodies as ghosts. Thus, when remnants of prasadam food are offered to the forefathers by descendants, the forefathers are released from ghostly or other kinds of miserable life. Such help rendered to forefathers is a family tradition, and those who are not in devotional life are required to perform such rituals. Now, what does it say? Those who are not in devotional life are required to do this. Because a devotee every day is offering food to Krishna, and if he offers properly, Krishna offers it back as his mercy. And the devotee is brahminical initiated and a genuine Vaishnava, then by them respecting the prasadam, the ancestors become purified. Just like if you do your shrad ceremony, you're supposed to invite a genuine Brahmana or Vaishnava to your house and offer them food or prasadam. So in this way, the devotee, who's a sincere devotee and strictly following, the fact that every day he's offering, he or she is offering food to the deities and then respecting it, following all the rules and regulations, then all the ancestors are benefited by the actions of the devotee. However, if someone is not a devotee and they're engaged in some kinds of sinful activities every once in a while, then it's imperative for them to regularly perform the shrad ceremony. And the food is offered to Vishnu or Krishna. And then the remnants of prasadam are offered to the forefathers by descendants. The forefathers are released from ghostly or other kinds of miserable life. So these are all practices that were followed in previous times. Then Prabhupada says, simply by performing devotional service, one can deliver hundreds and thousands of forefathers from all kinds of misery. It is stated in the Bhagavatam 11.5.41. Devarsi bhutatma ninam pitrinam lakin karu nayam rinin charajan sarvatmana ya saranam saranyam gato mukundam pariritya kartam. Anyone who has taken shelter of the lotus feet of Mukunda, the giver of liberation, giving up all kinds of obligation, and has taken to the path in all seriousness, owes neither duties nor obligations to the demigods, sages, general living entities, family members, for humankind or forefathers. Such obligations are automatically fulfilled by performance of devotional service to the Supreme Personality of Godhead. So, genuine devotees don't have to do this, but people who are still engaged, as Prabhupada says, sometimes he says, such help, meaning offering prasadam, to offer to Vishnu first, to the forefathers, such help in devotional service, such help rendered to forefathers is a family tradition, and those who are not in devotional service are required to perform such rituals. One who is engaged in the devotional life is not required to perform such actions. Simply by performing devotional service, one can deliver hundreds and thousands of forefathers from all kinds of misery. So this is important information for us. We should never in any way discourage others from performing these services, these rituals, because it's necessary. They cannot help their ancestors because in any other way, because they're engaged still in some kinds of sinful activities. But for devotees, it's not necessary because they're strictly following the principles of Krishna consciousness. Okay. So, then it says, by evil deeds of those who destroy the family tradition and thus give rise to unwanted children, all kinds of community projects and family welfare activities are devastated. So here Prabhupada says, community projects for the four orders of human society combined with family welfare activities, as they are set forth by the institution of Sanatana Dharma or Varnashram Dharma, are designed to enable the human being to attain his ultimate salvation. Therefore, the breaking of the Sanatana Dharma tradition by irresponsible leaders of society brings about chaos in that society, and consequently, people forget the aim of life, Vishnu. Such leaders are called blind, and persons who follow such leaders are sure to be led into chaos. So one such leader was Nehru. And actually, in another sense, maybe not as much as Nehru, but Gandhi also. Gandhi did do things that were very controversial. Some of those things were good, some of them were very bad. One of the bad things that he did was he said that, sometimes he would sleep with a woman, even though it might have been his niece, and he would do this to prove that he was not agitated for sense gratification. And then other times he would have his arm around women, even though they were maybe his own relatives. But he was dressed like a sadhu. But sadhus are not allowed to do things like that, you see. So he gave a bad example in that way. So the British correctly identified Gandhi. They said, amongst religionists, he's a politician. And amongst politicians, he's a religionist. So, in other words, he's a sadhu amongst the politicians, and he's like an ordinary guy amongst the sadhus, because he did not, although he dressed like a sadhu, he did not follow all the rules. And that eventually leads to degradation and destroying the family tradition and so forth. Okay. And then Krishna says, Arjuna says, O Krishna, maintainer of the people, I have heard by disciplic succession that those who destroy family traditions dwell always in hell. And Prabhupada writes, Arjuna bases his argument not on his own personal experience, but on what he has heard from the authorities. That is the way of receiving real knowledge. One cannot reach the real point of factual knowledge without being helped by the right person who is always established in that knowledge. There is a system in the Varnasram institution by which, before death, one has to undergo the process of atonement for his sinful activities. One who is always engaged in sinful activities must utilize the process of atonement called prayaschitta. Without doing so, one surely will be transferred to hellish planets to undergo miserable lives as a result of sinful activities. So this is to help those people who are, what you would say in English, recalcitrant. In other words, they adamantly, fanatically refuse to follow all the rules, although they follow some rules. But they refuse to follow all the rules. So such people are committing sins, but they're given a chance to reduce the load of those sins by the process of prayaschitta. Now, if you read the sixth canto, the beginning of the sixth canto, Maharaj Parikshit rejected the process of prayaschitta. He said, what good is it? I mean, it diminishes their load of sins, but it doesn't stop their desire to sin. So therefore, he wanted to hear something better than simply prayaschitta. And what is better? He should become a devotee in full time, following all the rules and regulations. Then you're not committing, then the desire for sin also goes away, if you chant sincerely. But prayaschitta just permits people, and prayaschitta is practiced in Christianity, in Islam, in Buddhism, and Hinduism. It's not just Hinduism. The Christians have the same thing, the Muslims have the same thing, the Buddhists have the same thing, where they'll perform these rituals to reduce the load of sinful activities. But it doesn't stop a person from desiring to sin and sinning again. So the Catholic Church has a ceremony where you go in front of a priest in a small box setting, and the priest is on one side. You can't see the priest, but he's there. He can hear you, and he can't see you. And you have to make your confessions of sins that you committed. So the person says, Father, I have sinned. And the priest said, yes, my dear son, my dear daughter, how have you sinned? And then they go into a whole discussion of all the sins they committed the previous week or the previous month or the previous life or previous years. And then he said, well, you have to chant Hail Mary, Son of God, Mother of God, 10,000 times. That's if they have sins really bad. And if it's not so bad, he said, well, you have to say it 100 times or 1,000 times. Right? And then the person thanks the priest. And then they walk out and they see each other, and then the person gives a donation, they leave. But that doesn't purify the desire to sin. So the next week, the person can be back again. Oh, Father, I have sinned. Yes, my dear child, please tell me what you have done. And they tell him again. And then he says, well, you have to, this time you have to say Hail Mary, which is a prayer. Just like we pray to Radharani, they pray to Mother Mary, right, for forgiveness. So this is not a good system, but it's better than nothing. And it gives people a chance to purify themselves a little bit from their reactions. Okay, so this is one point in this purport. So are there any questions? All glories to Srila Prabhupada. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna.